Welcome to Pop a la Carte, our second podcast from With an Accent. I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kelly.
This week we have a variety of topics from X-Men, Dark Phoenix, to Star Trek Discovery, to what you should catch up on this season or this summer while all your shows are off. Let's start with the latest news from X-Men, Dark Phoenix, which is that everybody's back. And we don't know if that's a good thing. Discuss.
Well, we're just looking it up now and seeing that Simon Kinberg is directing it. And that's his first director credit. That's not really a lot to say. His writing credits, though, he hasn't done much either. He's responsible for that Fantastic Four movie. Apocalypse, which was iffy.
Wait, so he wrote the Fantastic Four movie that had MBJ and Kate Mara in it? Okay, so like that's why I said, like, oh, he must be a white man. Like, who is going to give you a big movie like X-Men after you wrote crap and directed nothing?
Because he just said he wrote Apocalypse.
Yeah, so that was terrible. Yeah. Apocalypse was bad. It didn't make his money back.
He did write Days of Future Past, though, and I'm probably alone on this, but I actually like that movie.
I did like Days of Future Past.
I go back and forth on that one because I really liked First Class. Like, it's not perfect, but I did like it, and I'm kind of worried by the minute Singer came back, I was just upset because that's not good. I think it was good when he went away. He did fine with the movies in the 90s and the early, like, the aughts, or whatever we're calling them.
The aughts. What are we calling them? The O's? The double O's?
But, I don't know, they were very much of their time, and then he came back and it was like, it could have been a really great reboot, or we had a really great reboot, and then it just went to shit when he brought it back. And I have a problem. I know that everybody says the continuity thing, well, maybe it doesn't matter and it shouldn't matter, but at the same time, it's kind of ridiculous. Especially because now Dark Phoenix is going to take us to 10 years to get from McAvoy to Patrick Stewart.
Well, right. I feel like if they hadn't made the continuity such a big thing, a part of the plot of the movies, then it wouldn't matter. But it is literally like, let's go back and erase what happened in this terrible movie so that our future movies can be better. And we already did Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
In the past future. And now it's going to happen again. I mean, I think my big issue is that it's too soon for Dark Phoenix, in my opinion. Because we barely got an introduction to Jean Grey.
Yeah.
At Sophie Turner's version of her in Apocalypse. And now she's going to, like, I don't know, have the fight of her life.
Yeah, apparently.
But I guess it's sort of similar to what they're doing in the comics right now, like in X-Men Blue. I always forget which is the old, like, the old kids and which is the new kids for the X-Men, but in one of the X-Men, Jean Grey is the leader and she's having, like, visions of the Dark Phoenix happening to her. And I'm like, "We just met you." Like, in this issue, you know, like, this incarnation of you, like, 2 issues ago. But here we are. Dark Phoenix is coming.
It's like they've gotten married to that storyline. They don't know what else to do.
I'm a little behind on the comics, but is that Jean Grey the one that came from the past?
Yes, it's time-displaced Jean Grey. Yes, baby Jean Grey.
Okay.
The only X-Men movies that I've really seen, I've seen Days of Futures Past, and I've seen the one prior to...
Okay.
Then I've seen like the ones way back. Like,
so you've seen like the best ones. The only one you haven't seen is Apocalypse, which you don't need to see.
Seriously, I finally watched Apocalypse, I think on the plane coming back from the UK or something. And I just spent the whole time being like, Jesus Christ, I wish I hadn't watched this.
Right.
Because it was so bad. And I love the cast except for Jennifer Lawrence. Although I love her, I just don't love her as Mystique. But I just didn't care.
Right.
At all. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like they were rehashing stuff, like the Quicksilver thing. You know, everybody's like, oh, that's the best part of the movie again. I'm like, it's the same thing over again. I didn't feel it was special until it didn't really matter to me.
I love Sophie Turner. I love Oscar Isaac. And I love... which may be, I don't know, unpopular opinion, like Olivia Munn. I love Olivia Munn. So I like all of them. And so I was like, well, I guess I have to watch this movie. But I'm, like, embarrassed for them watching the movie.
Especially Olivia Munn. She was really underutilized in that movie. Mm-hmm. And she didn't really say much either.
Right.
And you gotta feel bad for her considering she said no to Deadpool to instead do this role. And it's like, you should have done Deadpool.
That was a mistake.
At least Deadpool was a really good movie.
But Marina Baccarin was amazing, so I'm okay with this.
Yeah. It's hard because what do I care? And you look at what the movie made. It did, its domestic gross was only $155 million. It did $65 its opening weekend, Apocalypse I'm talking about, again. And Civil War, which came out like 3 weeks before, 4 weeks before, something like that, did $175 million in its opening weekend, and then, you know, did $408 total. There is no reason X-Men shouldn't be able to hit that. And if you're not, then you have a problem, and maybe...
Right.
Just going with the same story over and over again. Mm-hmm.
X-Men was one of the most famous properties that Marvel has. And yes. So it's sort of, I don't know if it's just because they know, people know it's not Marvel, so they expect it to just not be as good, or it's really that the last few movies have not lived up to the expectations. So it's like diminishing returns at this point. The only thing that people care about with X-Men is Wolverine because of Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
So it's like...
I hate Wolverine. I like Hugh Jackman, but I hate Wolverine.
Yeah, so, like, even though, like, the Wolverine Origins movies, how many of them were there? I don't even know. Were bad. They would still make you more money than X-Men Apocalypse. Or whatever this version is going to be. Logan is a separate thing, because Logan is wonderful. Really good. Yeah, Logan is... Logan was amazing. So separate.
Which is another... where it's, like, it doesn't feel like it's really in continuity. Like, it's just its own thing. It could have just been... a random movie.
Right, and we're never going to know, like, what happened or how it connects to the to the current movies.
It only did what it did because of nostalgia. It relied heavily on people just knowing all of that stuff and knowing enough to care about Wolverine, even if the movie didn't really acknowledge.
Yeah, but, like, that's the thing. Like, it could get away with that. But yeah. X-Men Apocalypse and X-Men Dark Phoenix Electric Boogaloo will not be able to do that.
That would be better. They should call it that because people might go see it.
They'll be excited.
I think that sounds more interesting, to be honest.
Speaking of potentially more interesting things, Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Are you sighing? She hates everything.
I don't. I'm just really skeptical. It has a release date, finally. We just found out today that it will be released September 24th. That'll be, one episode will air on CBS, and then it'll air 8 of the episodes on CBS All Access, which no one is going to pay for just Star Trek, but whatever.
Well, what about The Good Fight, okay? Well, it's Star Trek and The Good Fight. I'm there.
I think real Trekkies will pay to see it.
Except that I don't think they call themselves Trekkies anymore. They're Trekkers now.
Really?
Yes.
They've upgraded? Yeah.
Yes.
I can't get used to that.
Are any of you guys Trekkies? Trekkers? Mm-hmm.
Well, clearly not.
I'm a Trekkier.
Trekkier?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up watching the old series, and yeah, I grew up watching Next Generation, and it's been so long since we got a series, it's nice that we got this. I'm not sure when it's falling, what timeline, but it seems interesting. I know it's not the J.J. Abrams timeline, technically.
I think it takes place in the same universe as the series all day.
Mm-hmm.
Except,
is it a prequel?
Enterprise. Isn't Enterprise, like, I didn't watch all of Enterprise because I couldn't get past the Diane Warren theme song. I'm terrible.
Actually, technically, Enterprise is the only series that's canon anymore because it happened before Nero changed the timeline and the first Star Trek. Technically.
That's confusing. Yeah. So another series that plays with timelines and doesn't make any sense.
I think they made it. I think they did clarify that it is going to be a prequel, though.
It is a prequel.
So
if you watch the trailer, which I just watched again, it does say, you know, 10 years before Kirk and Spock. And
right.
Et cetera.
Right. Exactly.
And Spock's father. Mm-hmm. Shit. What was his name? I forgot his name.
Dad Spock.
Yeah, anyway, his father, I'm blanking, I'm going to get it, but he's in it.
That's okay.
James Frayne is playing. And
James Frayne.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
The casting is great.
Yeah, I love Sonequa Martin and Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and Jason Isaacs is in it.
And Anthony Rapp, who I have not seen since Rent, but I still have those feels.
I did like the, because I actually only just watched the trailer, I did like that it focuses so much, I mean, Sonequa Martin Green is the lead, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It just focused basically on her and Michelle Yeoh, which I'm assuming one of them dies. I'm assuming Michelle Yeoh.
I would assume if one of them's gonna die, it has to be Michelle.
I think she's the captain.
Okay, it would be like the older generation, and then the young generation takes
over. Although I thought Jason Isaacs was gonna die when they cast him, but now I'm confused as to who everybody's playing. So I don't.
Someone is definitely gonna die
in the first episode, probably. Somebody really important will die in the first episode. I don't know. It's promising.
Mm-hmm.
It has potential. I grew up watching The Next Generation. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. I love that show. And I do like the movies that I've seen. I liked Voyager. I never really watched Deep Space Nine because I got sick of it being in the same place all the time. And I was like, no, you're supposed to be traveling. But then they did later, and everybody tells me I need to watch it. So, anyway. But I don't know how I feel about it. All the problems with production that went into it,
mm-hmm.
with Brian Fuller leaving and delayed over and over and over again, is what has me worried. But that can be good because Westworld was delayed. They stopped production in the middle of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because they knew that they needed more time to write it, and then it was amazing.
That's true. That's true. So, I mean, sometimes it can be the reverse of a Trojan horse. A blessing in disguise. There we go.
What is up with the Klingons, though?
What is up with them, just generally?
No, they look different. Oh. I don't understand why.
Their faces, yeah, they look a lot different in this series.
And it's only supposed to be 10 years before we first saw them in the other series, so I don't know why. They look really weird. What is wrong with, like, the classics of things that people love? Why do we have to try and make it new all
the time? Sort of like when the Star Wars prequels were like, we're going to update everything massively, even though this is in the past. And then you're going to be like, oh, people's, like, de-evolved.
Even the new ones, which only take place, they're 30 years later, but they updated, like, stormtroopers and everything. Uh-huh. And if you look at what, like, Sideshow makes all of those toys, they can't sell them. But they sell out of all of the, like, the hot toys for, because Matt buys them, so I know.
Oh, okay.
They sell out of all of the original trilogy stormtroopers, but the new troopers, they can't sell.
Oh, interesting, because people are just attached to the old ones?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? That's the nostalgia, right? You want to just... You can make it look cleaner, I guess, but don't change it.
Yeah, nobody wants it changed. It's bad enough that they changed Vader's costume between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. I think people hated that. So
if it ain't broken, don't fix it. So what's good? Everything sounds terrible.
I know, right? I'm a terrible person. I'm just attacking.
Well, I'm hopeful, but Discovery, I think it's going to be cool. I hope it's going to be cool. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I think
I really wish it was on CBS, just CBS, the channel, but I'll pay... How much is it? Does it cost to get the all-access thing anyway?
I think it's $10 a month. I think $10 a month. Like everything else.
Yeah. I think it's smart of them to put it, the first episode, on CBS itself so that everyone can tune in and then decide if they're going to keep watching it or not.
It's $5.99 a month.
Oh, okay. That's not that bad.
With commercials or $9.99 a month without commercials.
$5.99.
That's two cups of coffee.
It's just interesting because, I mean, at the TCAs last summer when they first started talking, they had Brian Fuller there before he left and they gave the first details on Discovery. Absolutely everybody there was talking about how not a single one of them would be paying for CBS All Access. And they gave them all free, you know, because they need them to watch it. So, yeah, everybody was basically saying if we weren't giving pre-subscriptions, we would be downloading.
Right.
And I think that's the problem. It just lends itself too much to downloading. At least, you know, you pay $10 a month for HBO Go. Well, you're getting all of the movies that they pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Their entire back catalog of TV shows.
Right. Yeah, what are you getting with something like CBS? I mean, I guess, yeah, even with Showtime, you would get... or Stars, you get the movies at least, also. Yeah. Did CBS work for them? Like, did The Good Fight help them? Or are they doing Star Trek on All Access to see if... like, if that doesn't work, nothing will. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Discovery was supposed to air in January of this year, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how far it's been pushed.
But
9 months
later. Was it already finished filming?
No.
Okay, so it was actually pushed back in production.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even think they had cast at that point. When it was supposed to start.
Right.
Which is why it's had like 4 different premiere dates or something.
Mm. Well, hopefully this one will stick.
I think this one looks like it's final. We'll see.
We got a trailer and everything.
Yeah, that's promising. We didn't have that when they announced January.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right. Next, we're going to talk about what to catch up on this summer. What you can do while you're waiting for Discovery to finally air. And all the other shows that come back at the same time because it is airing right as all the shows come back.
Oh, look at that.
So it's going to have some competition. So what do you guys think everybody should catch up
on? Well, iZombie is currently ending its third season, but it will come back for a fourth season. So that's something that you should catch up on. And then currently, what my roommate and I are actually catching up on is Once Upon a Time.
Aww.
Mm-hmm.
Which just...
Like we...
basically finished its story, right?
Yeah. The next season's gonna be like a reboot. Or a re-something.
Reimagining. Isn't it, like, there only one actor who's actually
Oh, yeah, spoilers.
Back?
I guess spoilers the next season. But, like, it's not part of the storyline. It's not...
I'll put a spoiler warning in the comments. But, yeah, I think only the one actress is coming back, right?
Gold is also coming back.
I think, like, four actors.
Oh, okay.
It's just... And I think Henry's coming back, too.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, how are you liking the season of iZombie?
I love it. There's obviously things that I didn't like about the beginning of the third season. Mm-hmm. Like... Does everyone watch iZombie? Is everyone caught up?
I haven't watched the latest episode, but I've been watching.
I am caught up. No, actually, what am I saying? I am.
I'm like one episode behind.
Okay, then I won't say about that one. But, I guess just like the early episodes, I know Angela and I talked about how we hated the Ravi Peyton.
Oh, that was so horrible. Oh my god.
And then it's like they just drop it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I thought it was completely out of character for pretty much every character involved, and it was not needed. They could have, if they wanted to incorporate a love triangle or something, which they shouldn't, they could have done something else.
Yeah.
I think they can focus, I don't know, for me personally, I'm still waiting, I doubt we're going to see them at this point, but I'm still waiting to see, like, Liv's family.
Yeah, oh, right. What happened to them?
I don't even remember if they know that she's a zombie or not.
No, they don't.
So you think that would matter?
Like, see?
Well, and didn't, like, last we saw her brother, didn't he get scratched? Didn't she have to scratch him to save him?
Oh my god, yeah.
He was in the hospital because he was at Meet Cute when it exploded,
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And she scratched him to save him, and then we just forgot he existed.
Maybe there was, like, a line that we missed where it's like, yeah, we used one of the three cures on him, and now we're done.
Yeah, really.
That is so crazy. But you think it's been better since they dropped that inane love triangle?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was kind of annoying how it's like, oh, they dropped it, and then it's like, let's go back to normal and pretend that didn't happen.
Right. But you know it happened.
Still happened, so why? Yeah. So why even have it in the first place?
Yeah, it was an unsatisfying way to end it.
It felt really weird to me too to go from, oh, yay, Liv and Major are back together for, like, one whole episode, then, oops, shit, no, he got cured. And there's not even any angst from, oh, he got cured, so they can't be together again.
Right,
it's just, I'm gonna shack up with some crazy bitch I met through the mail. Like,
yeah, I feel like I missed something. Like, they had that, like, beautiful, like, oh, no, we need one last night together before I forget things. Oh, I didn't forget things. Oh, I'm, you know, human again.
They didn't even actually address, and I mean, I guess they just assume everybody knows this, so they didn't even actually address the fact that, well, he is human again, so they can't sleep together.
Right.
But you'd think there'd be some angst over that.
Yeah.
Again, or do they feel like they did it all and they don't want to do it again? I don't know.
At least bring it up. You're like, I like her and, like, she and Major's buddy, whose name I can't remember right now.
I can't remember his name either.
Is Justin?
Justin, yes. They're cute. They're cute, but it is weird that there isn't some kind of push and pull there.
Maybe they're just incredibly well-adjusted people, and that's the problem, because we're not used to that. Because I guess you could say that. They're just like, well, we can't be together, so we should be just happy in what we can.
But, like, I also feel like there wasn't that much build. Like, the amnesia episode was sort of, like, not out of nowhere, because you always know there's something between Liv and Major, but it was, like, super emotional, given that there wasn't that much going on before.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, why build it up to that point, and then just eliminate it. Don't do that in the first place. You could have just made a nice little platonic three-way with Robbie and Major and Liv.
I feel like there's interesting stuff happening this season, but it feels really disjointed and, like, I don't know, it feels kind of schizophrenic, like you don't know what they're trying to do from one episode to the other, except for the whole zombie hunter. That storyline is the only thing.
Oh my god, I was still so heartbroken about Clive and that little family.
Aww.
Like, what was the kid's name? Yeah, I can't remember. Wally?
Yeah.
I was like, what? Why would you do this? Why would you make this nice, wonderful family for Clive and then kill them? That was horrible. But that was the emotional crux for me, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
That was, like, the thing that I was most invested in this season.
How many episodes do we have left?
Two, I think. Two or three.
Okay.
I do think it's interesting that, like, every episode has been sort of leading into the next episode, which I don't think happened really last season.
It's not quite as episodic as...
Yeah. It's, like, really, like, episodes will end, and I'm like, how is that the end of the episode? You were about to go do something.
Yeah. But... Well, and even the cases, because they do have cases that they're trying to solve, but even those tend to lead into, each other. They seem to be connected. So, yeah, I don't know. I love iZombie, and it's actually one of only two of the shows that I'm still going to be watching that are technically DC shows. And, of course, they're both the DC shows that are only technically DC shows. They're not the DC superhero shows, because the other show that
DC Vertigo shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because they're not in the same universe. Although that could be interesting if they all of a sudden decided that Seattle is the same as Lucifer's LA.
Yeah.
Now I want to see that crossover. God damn it. Too bad they're on the wrong channel. But yeah, Lucifer is the other show that I can't believe how few people I know watch it.
Yeah.
And it's really good. The people I know don't have hang-ups about it being the devil, so I'm not sure why they don't watch it.
Yeah, I think it's what's nice about Lucifer, too, is that it doesn't purport to be more than it is. Like, it really is just sort of like a procedural, like a police procedural.
Yeah.
And the detective just happens to be, like, one step above Sherlock. He is actually the devil. You know? Like... And that's pretty much, that's what's going on.
One step of one Sherlock, I like that.
So yeah, I like that about Lucifer. I thought, at first I wasn't that into it, because I was like, oh, it's just another police procedural. Mm-hmm. But I think the cast is all, like, really fun.
I think, you know, when we heard about what it was just one of those things where it was like, well, I'm going to give it a shot, but what? Right. Why is that the show you decided to create out of Sandman?
Right, exactly.
It didn't really seem to make sense. But first season was good and it was fun, but I actually really liked the second season. Mm-hmm. I think the overall story with his mother...
Yes.
It was a good bookend. It was a finite story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the most part. I mean, I assume some of it's going forward, obviously, but her story is done.
Right.
And even the love story was told in a really interesting way. I'm trying not to talk about spoilers, but I'm
which
like...
Which love story are you talking about?
Lucifer and the detective, even though I don't actually care if they're together, it's an interest... I don't know. It's like, it's weird. Okay, so apparently she doesn't like that.
What I like about it is that they don't do it that often. That they don't go into it that often, because I really don't care.
I think I would prefer them to be, platonic soulmates, I guess, in a way. Mm-hmm. I think I would prefer if that's the way they went, but it doesn't really bother me.
Right.
Although, it is interesting to, like, that she was put on Earth for him. She was created for him. I was like, I just want to see where that goes.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's sort of like, it doesn't really, because I already didn't care about them, it doesn't really bother me, but, like, if I had cared about them, it would bother me, because women being created for men is literally the most cliche thing.
It's true.
Like, oh, what a surprise. She is his manic pixie dream girl. I can't believe. But, yeah, it will be interesting to see how they move past that if she ever even finds out what's going on.
Do you think they'll ever show her find out? Who he really
is. I feel like, I don't know. Do you guys watch Lucifer?
No, I haven't.
Oh no. Okay. Well.
Well, then we're trying to sell it to you.
Yeah. Right. There you go. Okay. So I think that they don't make it an issue that she doesn't know.
Yeah.
Because she's somehow, like, so incredibly okay with a crazy person working with her who thinks he is the devil that, like, she doesn't make it an issue. And it's, like, humorous to see her not... And it's humorous in an a not painful way. Like, it's usually, like, if you've got superhero stories or whatever, and, like, the love interest doesn't know, and it's painful for her to not know.
Yeah.
And then you get mad at her, even though you should be mad at him, right?
Yeah.
But... So in this way, it doesn't create any extra stress, really.
Yeah.
So it's just fun, I guess, for her not to know.
Because they can't all know, because basically everybody else knows, right?
Yeah, everyone else knows. So I guess... No, except for Dan. So poor Dan.
Yeah, poor Dan.
And technically Trixie does not know, but that's irrelevant.
True.
That's not relevant.
She doesn't care.
Exactly. So yeah, I'll stop. A lot of random characters who don't matter don't know. So yeah, I think that it could be like right before the final season, right? She finds out in the finale before the final season.
Yeah.
And then you deal with the fallout of her knowing at the end. But it's one of those things where it's like at this point, when people find out, nothing changes. They're just like, oh, everything makes sense now. Yeah. I am ready to continue.
You're not crazy.
Yeah. You're just Satan.
That's great.
That's the show.
There you go. That's the show, guys. You should watch it. It's good. No, yeah. Tom Ellis is, he works so well in that role.
Mm-hmm.
He's so charismatic. And what is it with DC hiring Welsh actors to play their DC guy? Because he's Welsh, and so is Christian Bale, and so is Matt Ryan, who played Constantine. They like Welshmen.
And like the darker side of your heroes, there you right? go. Your anti-heroes are Welsh. What does that say? That Matt is a anti-hero?
Well, he did, when they had that whole thing that was going around, that it was like, pick the three characters who are most like you. He picked Loki, Sherlock, and Jesus. And he said, because he has a god complex. And I was like, yes, that's my husband. Yes, that's, yeah.
That's why we need to get him on here.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, God. Andrew, what do you got for us? What should we catch up on?
Oh, since we're on a DC kick right now.
Uh-oh.
I want to preface this by saying this show is stupid as heck. But Gotham got really good last season.
Oh, my God. See, and that's what everybody keeps telling me, but I'm just like, I don't know, man.
It's true. No, it's true. It got good for Gotham. It got good for Gotham. Like, it's not, you can't compare it to other things. It finally found its footing.
Every time an episode plays, I like to recap the, just the ridiculousness to my girlfriend and see what she, and just see her eyes roll back.
But yeah, it was pretty fun this season.
I was really surprised.
It's just crazy how it started really grounded and like in reality and everything, and now they just went off the wall. They got mutants and clones and people with psychic powers and all this stuff. It's just ridiculous. I don't want to spoil too much, but the last episode had a surprise cameo from somebody. Ooh. Pretty big in the Batman universe. So if you guys want to know.
I was really surprised it got renewed, to be honest. Because it can't be cheap to make.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty basic, but it's filmed in New York. Yeah. So it's got to be kind of expensive.
The thing is, like, because ratings are going, like, haywire, yeah, right?
Nobody knows what to...
Yeah. I mean, Lucifer and Gotham were two of Fox's most consistent performers. They did that horrible, like, four-month break. Out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, it dropped a little bit at the end. But, like, before that, they were, like, for a little while, like, the only shows that were above a 1.0. So it's, like, they must be getting something out of it. And I guess fourth season will be syndication, right?
Yeah. So. That's true.
That's probably why. And I heard, I don't know if this is just the DC TV, like, CW DC TV,
mm-hmm.
or if they include Gotham and Lucifer. But I heard that, like, it was, like, WB/DC make over $1 billion. From DC TV properties.
Oh, wow.
So, like, all of them are useful to them as a whole.
Yeah.
You know?
I suppose that's true.
But, yeah, Gotham, I think that one thing that's really important is that it finally leaned into Jim Gordon not really being heroic, you know? One of my big issues with the first few seasons of Gotham was that it was like, oh, Jim is our hero, but he's sort of like the worst of them. Like, he's police brutality is his middle name, and he's like really like he doesn't follow law and order like he should, right? And so this season was finally like that was like a plot point, and so I was like, okay, I accept this. This is good. And then of course, I don't know if you guys remember, like, when Fish Mooney was around in season one, and everyone had a problem with, like, Fish Mooney's, like, up here, and everyone else is, like, down here grounded, like you said. So it's, like, now it's, like, everyone finally reached where Fish Mooney was. And so now the show makes sense.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, one show now.
It's more cohesive.
Yeah.
In that it's all just silly?
Yeah, it's all just silly now.
Did we actually get the Riddler? Like, is he actually the Riddler now? I know they've been working
towards Yeah.
He calls himself the Riddler.
Right. There is an episode called How the Riddler Got His Name.
Okay.
So, they're definitely going towards that.
And did Robin Lord Taylor come back?
Yes.
I actually really liked the Penguin Riddler stuff this season. I thought that was really interesting.
Agreed.
Yeah, I heard that was one of the things that made me kind of almost want to watch, but now it's daunting to want to have to catch up. But
right.
If it's all, I don't know, so, to an extent, sometimes it's nice to watch just silly, stupid. That especially if they know they're silly and stupid. Because if they don't, if they try and play it highbrow, it's not good. But if they know that they're kind of dumb, then it's not so bad.
Right. One thing that's opposite of DC, not really, but Marvel,
yes.
that no one should have anything bad to say about this season, and everyone should catch up on,
yes,
is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And if you say something bad, I'll punch you in the face.
I know so many people who were like, no, I stopped watching after, like, the first three episodes. And I was like, you had to get through the Winter Soldier.
Right.
I know it sucked. Mm. It was kind of, it was hard because you really had, like, it just didn't know what it wanted to be until it finally was able to catch up with, like, they could acknowledge what they knew was going to happen in that film, which was then funny because then there was no S.H.I.E.L.D. So your whole entire premise for your show was like, wait a minute, what? But it just, it got so good. And I think especially this season was better than last season.
Yes.
And I think the show's consistently right. gotten
Each
better.
Each season every is better season than is last, better. For sure.
And I think the interesting thing that they have done is that they just every year try and reinvent it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's recognizable, but they play with new and different things. It's almost like the movies in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, because every Marvel film really is, you know, they all live it, they all exist in the same universe, but no one's going to say that Ant-Man and Thor are the same movies. Or at least they better not.
But someone really might not. Say that Doctor Strange and Iron Man are the same movie.
Well,
I'll second that.
Or that Ant-Man and Doctor Strange and Iron Man are the same movie, but I do love them. But there is a very specific plot. Yeah. Anyway, but no, it's this season with the pods was really interesting. Mm-hmm. Especially that last one, which Andrew said you haven't watched yet. So now I'm like,
spoilers.
How do you talk around it? It's the best one, and you haven't watched it yet.
But yeah, Ghost Rider, the first half of the season. Was, like, visually very stunning and had, like, a lot of emotionally rich content, especially for Daisy and for the eponymous Ghost Rider. And then LMD had a lot of great stuff for Mei, who's Ming-Na Wen. She is Mulan, therefore you should watch this show.
She's awesome. She follows us on Twitter.
She is. Oh, look at that. She follows us on Twitter. So she is super awesome.
She's great.
But, yeah, so a lot of great stuff for her and new... She's not a new actress in life, but to the show. Mallory Jansen was amazing all season long. And
I
she
love
has.
Her in Galavan.
Yes, she's amazing in Galavan.
Which one's Mallory Jansen?
Ada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and she gets even better in the episodes that you have not watched.
Yeah, she's really, really good in those episodes.
I'm going to catch up.
Have you seriously not been spoiled yet?
I saw one little thing on Facebook, this little gif with the... Coulson, Ghost Coulson or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that was... So I saw that. That was both. And that looks cool. That makes me want to finally pick this up and finish it up.
Yeah, and that's a really good, interesting thing because that basically is going to... There's something going on after that that's leading into the next season. It's kind of... That's the what's gonna happen now.
Right.
Weird moment.
That's funny. It was actually... Clark Gregg's his name, right? The actor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was actually him that spoiled it for me, because I follow him on Facebook and he posted the
How dare you, Clark Gregg?
There's certain shows that I can, like, I get away with not finding anything out, and then there's other ones that just, if I do not watch it at the right time, I'm going to be spoiled on absolutely everything. And S.H.I.E.L.D. is one of those. So it's Pretty Little Liars, but fuck that show. I don't really care anyway.
Yeah. Same.
My hate watch show. Why do I still watch it? It's almost over. Thank God.
How many episodes are left?
I don't remember.
Like two episodes?
Two or three, something like that.
Do you watch it too, Kelly?
I watched it, I think, until season six, and then I stopped watching it. I'll probably, like, watch the one episode I missed. I don't know. It just got really ridiculous.
Yeah, in the first two seasons, like, Matt watched it when you're without me. Mm-hmm. And he was the one who then made me watch it.
Really?
Yes, right?
Oh, wow.
And we really liked it. We were recommending it to people. And then it was just like, no, what happened?
Yeah, it did start off really strong.
I agree.
Yeah, even though I didn't want to watch it at first because it seemed really stupid. But then as I watched the first season, I was like, I love how strong the friendship is between the girls.
Yeah.
And, like, nothing gets in between that. And, like, that's something that you don't see a lot of. You know, four young girls to look up to. And now it's whatever it is.
I don't know.
It's what happens when you let a show go on too long.
Am I the only person who actually...
That's true.
Am I the only person who actually likes Spencer and Caleb better than Hannah?
Oh, you're disgusting! I was literally about to say, all I care about is that Emily is happy and that Hannah and Caleb are together. I don't care about anything else.
Yes.
I don't know why. I think it's just because I don't know.
Because you hate romance. That's what it is.
No, not necessarily. Emily's also the most boring character on that show.
You hate puppies and sunshine and rainbows.
Which is funny because I thought maybe I just wasn't a fan of Shay Mitchell's acting. Mm-hmm. But then I went to The Pretty Little Liars. We went to the Paley Fest because, you know, Matt basically has a crush on Ashley.
Aww.
So that's why he still watches. And we went to the Paley Fest for it. And they, like, gave them scripts and made them read each other's character.
Oh.
And Ashley Benson read Emily as Hannah.
Okay.
It was, like, the same character. But Shay Mitchell, actually, I was like, no, this is a different character.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I feel like you're actually playing Hannah.
Right. So you're like, oh, she's doing a good job.
She's a good actress. I'm just not,
you just don't like
a fan of Emily.
All right, well, you're a hater. That's okay. I forgive you.
And, oh my god, are you still watching?
No, but I don't care. I don't care about spoilers.
Oh my god, this season when they got to, so Allison's pregnant, and then all of a sudden, I think it was like an episode before it happened, I was like, Allison's pregnant with Emily's baby, isn't she? And Matt was just like, no. And I was like, I bet you anything, Emily's eggs are missing.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's what's fucking happened, is okay. She was in artificially inseminated, and sure enough, I
wow,
just, like,
well,
got to be kidding.
Well, at least
me.
That's one way for them to have a baby. They're going to
yes.
have a baby. Yeah. Good job.
It wasn't consensual.
Oh, God.
But whatever. Or was it? Because we don't know who AD is, and it still could be Allison. I don't know. That
yikes.
Show's ludicrous.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've put this much time into it.
So you've got
to. I have to see it through. Mm-hmm. Because it's almost over. But every single episode, we just sit there watching, and we're like, why are we still watching this show?
So this is the one she does not recommend.
Yeah, this is the one I won't tell you to watch. Or if you do, watch the first two seasons and just stop when they reveal who the first A was.
There you go.
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. And then just don't watch after that because there was some good stuff, but mostly it fell apart. Other stuff to watch, though, instead of watching absolutely terrible shows like Pretty Little Liars that just fell apart, watch a consistent show that you'll get through a lot faster because, you know, foreign stuff, they tend to do this thing where they're like, we have a story to tell, and then we're going to stop telling it because we're not just going to keep making money. We're going to tell a good story.
So shocker.
My number one recommendation, and it fits because of what we talk about all the time, which is a lot of genre stuff and just nerd stuff in general. My number one recommendation to people is always Spaced.
Spaced.
You've never heard of it?
Spaced is really good.
Oh my god, Spaced is the best show ever.
All right, I'm ready for you guys to educate me.
We used to have marathons because it's only 7 hours because it was 2 7 episode seasons and they were only half hours and it was ITV, so it was ITV or Channel 4, I'm gonna get this wrong, it was one of the two, so they actually had commercials. It starred Simon Pegg and Jessica Hines, Nee Stevenson used to be her name, and then they wrote all the episodes, and it was directed by Edgar Wright, who has a new movie coming out this week.
Oh,
Baby Driver.
That's
which
right.
Which looks amazing, and I'm going to see it as soon as possible.
That looks really fun.
But
it was Channel 4.
Okay, it was Channel 4. See, I always get those confused, and Matt gives me crap for it, but I can't help it. The not BBC channels. That's
right.
What they are to me, right? But anyway, Spaced is Daisy and Tim. So Jessica and Simon they're in their 20s. Both seasons came out in, I think it was 99 and 2000. And they live in an apartment together. And basically the show is just pop culture reference after pop culture reference. Like if you watch the DVDs, there's actually a subtitle track where they just tell you what they're referencing at that point. And there are times when they have to tell you before it happens because they have so many references they can't fit them all on the screen. And, you know, there's, like, the Resident Evil episode. There's the, like, Jurassic Park episode. And there's a Matrix episode, which starts the first season, or the second season, I mean, the first episode of the second season. And it's just silly and really, really funny. And I watch it again and again as I see more and more because there's some spoiler alert, there's a bunch of stuff I haven't seen that's like classic stuff. I'm working on it. But there would be all kinds of references that I wouldn't know. And then I'd go back and watch it and I'd be like, oh, I saw that. No, I know what that is.
So it's literally just two
seasons. Yeah. You can watch the entire thing in 7 hours.
Wow.
And it's hilarious. I mean, there's lots and lots of Star Wars references because they're huge Star Wars fans. But the second season came out after The Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's literally like a part where Tim is burning all his Star Wars merchandise because he's so upset at how bad The Phantom Menace is.
Relatable.
And it's funny because they actually let him use the music. So it's him in a robe standing in front of a big pyre, and it looks like Vader's funeral pyre. Oh. And it's got the music, and it just says, like, there's a box that says Star Wars stuff. And it's, you know, he loses his job because he yells at a kid who liked Jar Jar.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, you don't know what it was like. You weren't there. And he gets fired from his comic book shop job. And it's just, I don't know, it's so funny. And it's now, I think, on Netflix, I think.
Is it?
It only, it used to be really hard to recommend to people because it wasn't even released in the U.S. until 8 years ago now. And
wow.
Because they fought really hard to keep a lot of the music in because they have, like, Coldplay and stuff like this that they didn't have the rights to. So they had to get the rights to be able to release it in the U.S. And then they did a special tour. Not? No! Sad. It's not available. Oh, but you can get it on Netflix DVD, but not to stream.
I didn't know Netflix DVD was still a
thing. I thought it was on Hulu. Is it on Hulu?
It might be on Hulu. It might be on Hulu. Let's check.
Oh, the IT crowd.
I love the IT crowd.
That's such a great... Or the IT crowd. It's not actually supposed to be the IT crowd. It's the IT crowd that everybody says. Sorry, she looked on Netflix and that came up as recommendations of things that people should watch too. That's another awesome one. That's a little bit longer, the IT crowd. But Spaced is amazing. Like, if you like pop culture, you will... I mean, even if you don't... Like I said, I didn't get half of the references the first time I watched, yeah. But... There's amazing.
Spaced.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's really good. I got into it late. I mean, after I kind of watched all the Edgar Wright Cornetto trilogy movies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I got into space. And, you know, those movies are hilarious. And this is just that same type of humor. But
so Spaced really is on Hulu if you want to check it out.
There you go. So watch it because you will not be disappointed, I promise.
I'm gonna be checking it out now.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I'm going to.
It's so good.
How about you guys? Any foreign recommendations?
I think Andrew said he doesn't watch anything foreign, so apparently, although he did watch Space, so obviously he does. He just doesn't realize.
That's the thing. A lot of my foreign taste, they'll be like movies and stuff that come into the mainstream, like the Edgar Wright movies or like Danny Boyle movies and stuff like that.
Mm.
Yeah, I did watch Space though. It was really good.
What about you, Kelly?
I'm like two episodes. Oh. I've been like two episodes into Luther for the last couple of months. I'm going to pick that up again.
Oh, Luther's really good. Yeah.
I feel bad. I still haven't watched it.
Why?
We have it downloaded. This? We have it all ready to watch. But
yeah, you better get on that.
This is why I'm giving up half of my TV shows, specifically this DC superhero ones, because I don't have time for 22 episodes of bad television anymore when I could be watching Luther.
I have to listen to this.
Sorry.
Just a rudeness. Just hurting my babies.
I used to watch like 24 hours of television a week, and now I watch like 6 regularly, and I still cannot make
myself.
Right,
you can't catch up. Yeah. You can't watch all of it. But you should catch up on Luther, because I believe a 5th season is coming out. Like, doing another.
It was just announced. Yeah. And those seasons aren't very long.
No, anyway, it's like 3 episodes. Yeah.
It'll take me like a week if I...
Because it's like Sherlock, right? It's like movie length, 3 episodes. Sort of kind of situation. So yes,
the things that I want to necessarily like recommend, and they're kind of like, one of them's a guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
That
guilty pleasure
I want to just get back into. It's an Australian soap opera called Home and Away.
And there,
and I got into it like 3 years ago because I think like an actress I liked, like Phoebe Tonkin, was on it. But literally any Australian actor that's now super famous was on Home and Away. Like Hugh Jackman, I think one of the Hemsworths, I think it was Chris. Like,
Hemsworth's brother.
It's just like your typical soap opera, but it's like, I don't know, it's summer and it's nice out, and it's like a typical like beach show, and there's like a whole bunch of like dramatic issues between different characters and love triangles and all that stuff. But I don't know, it's definitely something fun and fun to watch, and it's like, it's interesting to see the famous Australian actors now, like how they little baby versions of them.
That's so, you know what, it's good from a like historical perspective.
There you go. Is it still on?
Oh yeah, it started I think in late 80s early 90s, and it's like still going. And like I think one day I just, like, you can type in it on YouTube or find it somehow. Just pick an episode and watch it. Like, I know you guys were talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. and, like, Luke Mitchell was on Home and Away for, that's like, fun. A whole bunch. So I saw pretty much his whole storyline.
I didn't even know he was Australian.
You didn't?
No.
Yep.
Whoops.
Shocker.
Yeah.
What else do I
You watch a lot of Australian stuff, don't you, Kelly?
I do. Like, yeah, that's actually, like, how I got into, like, foreign stuff.
Aw.
I don't know. Like, how I got into fandoms was, like, Australian media.
What was your first Australian fandom?
It was H2O.
I knew you were going to say H2O, because Phoebe Tonkin's in that.
And that's actually how I found out about Luke Mitchell. That was, like, his first role, and then...
Aw. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And I've, like, followed... That was, like, my first fandom, and I've, like, followed all the actors' filmography since, and...
Aww,
I don't know, I, like, nice. Love the cast.
That's always nice. Was Claire Holt in that?
Yes, and yes, I love Claire Holt.
Okay, so basically every Australian actor is in these things. You can, it's like, you can do that with British actors mm-hmm. and basically any period drama that the BBC produced. In fact, a friend and I used to have this joke that there must be an orphanage somewhere that's the BBC orphanage, and they just pull actors out of they, like, as they need people, and then they just make things, which is why you can go and be like, okay, so which actor do you want to see? Okay, they're in this Jane Austen remake.
Right.
Or whatever. And yeah, that's always what it felt like. They are really small area. It's not like the US where we have a buttload of people.
Right.
They tend to have a little bit smaller choice.
So what are your more innocent pleasures?
I don't know.
It's all guilty.
It's all guilty. That's okay. Whenever I get sick, I watch Road to Avonlea, which is an old CBC, I think it is. Yeah, so Canadian and American Disney Channel broadcast is in the same universe. It's Avonlea is the town that Anne of Green Gables is in. And so it's like in that same universe, and I seriously watch that thing over and over and over again. That's my guilty pleasure since I was a kid. It's my first ship.
Aw, your first ship?
My first ship was from that show. Mm. That was when I learned to ship, which is not a good thing.
There's nothing wrong with shipping.
It takes over your life.
No, not at all.
do not feel guilty at all about my recommendations.
Okay.
Which are of the K-drama variety, because K-drama is awesome, and even if you think you're going to hate it, you will not hate it. You will be sucked in, even if you can't remember anyone's name, and everyone acts completely deranged. That's fine. Some recent K-dramas that I have been watching, one that just finished recently, I think like early 2017 or late 2016, was Shopping King Louie, and it's super cute K-drama about this rich, like, the son of a media or a business conglomerate owner. So he's her grandson, and because of a curse that she believes that any family that's near her will die, she sent him far away to be raised elsewhere in France. That's why he calls himself Louis. But then he has to come to Korea for some reason. It's irrelevant why. He comes to Korea, and as soon as he comes to Korea, he gets into an accident and loses his memory. And the grandma thinks he's dead, so she thinks the curse is, oh my god, I've lost all my family. And this nice girl named Go Bok-shu finds him and sort of, like, takes care of him, right? She takes him into her house, she, like, pays for all his stuff, he's basically freeloading off her, but he's super sweet and he loves her so much. And he wants to do everything for her, but he doesn't know how because he's never done anything for anyone ever, right? Everything has been done for him. So it's literally about that. Meanwhile, there's a serial killer. I don't know how this is relevant, but in the background somewhere there's a serial killer. That's what K-dramas are like.
Sounds a lot like Gotham.
Right. It's not like Gotham, though. It's super light. Like, things never get too dark, right? It's like a very, like, light and fluffy comedy and romance with a little bit, then lots of friendship stuff going on, right? So just, like, if you want something, like, nice and happy to watch and that just make you sort of, like, squee, even if you're, you know, if you don't ever squee. Andrew doesn't look like he squees. Like, he will be squeeing.
I don't know. I think he squees about DC, yeah, especially Funkos.
There you go. It'll be like you see a new limited edition Funko at least once an episode. And then one that and Angela always says she doesn't want to get into dramas before they're done because she's worried they're gonna, you know,
go off the rails.
Yeah, turn the corner.
Like we talked about Lost last week.
Right.
We're all traumatized.
Suspicious Partner is one that's currently airing. And if you know about K-dramas, then you probably have heard of Healer, which is like one of the more famous ones and literally the best thing I've ever watched ever in my life.
Wow.
So the lead actor from Healer, whose name I'm about to butcher, Ji Chang-wook, he's also the lead in this Suspicious Partner, and it's another sort of like mystery, sort of low-key action, and of course romance, because otherwise, what would be the point if there wasn't romance? So,
gotta be romance.
Yeah, there has to be a romance. So he is a prosecutor who ends up setting a defense suspect free, right? Because he realizes that it wasn't actually her. So, they were hiding evidence, whatever. So he gets fired for revealing that they were hiding evidence to set her free. And then he and she both become defense attorneys together and meanwhile try to track down the actual killer of the murder that she was originally suspected.
Sure.
Yes. Sure. And it makes, there's literally, you have to watch them with just suspend all possible disbelief, right? Nothing works the way that it's supposed to work.
I have to admit, I have a hard time.
Yeah, I know. It would be hard. But, if you just let yourself watch it, following the emotions, it will be much more enjoyable than, could this happen? And the answer is no, it could not happen. So, suspicious partner, definitely watch. And there's, the acting's really good. The chemistry between the leads is super awesomely good. The best. And they do a really good job of weaving in the suspense of, who is gonna get murdered? Why are people getting murdered? When will they find out who the murderer is? So, yes. That's all.
And that's only had one
season? Right. They're K-dramas, it's you have however many episodes and then you're done. So, yeah. Shopping King Louie had 16 episodes. And that's it. And Suspicious Partner has 40 episodes because they're half-hour episodes.
Okay.
But, it's really, every two episodes is really one episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna have 20 episodes. And it has aired 11 of those so far.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's still, so it's halfway through.
You can catch up with it before it's over. And you can watch it on Viki, which has basically almost every... There's K-dramas, Taiwanese dramas, Japanese dramas. And they have subtitles in literally, they have, 20 different languages subtitles. I don't know how they do it. Cool. And they get them up, within the day that the episode airs. So...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're super awesome. And you can do the free version. It's like Hulu, right? You can do the free version, or you can do... You can pay to not have ads. Right?
Well, except Hulu does have ads.
Right.
Even on
the Even when you pay?
Yes.
Terrible. Yeah. See? Mm-hmm. So Viki is better than Hulu.
It's less.
And there's the added bonus of turning on the comments, so you get, live-time people commenting.
Oh, that's
And fun. You can just see, there's some that are super humorous and some that are super, oh, that's right. We still live in a super misogynist / racist world. I'm so glad. So you get to learn a lot about the other people watching with you.
Which can be half the drama, depending on what the thing is.
Yeah. Although, sometimes, when there isn't much dialogue, I'm, looking up in the corner, what are they going to say?
That would be hard what to do when you're having to read subtitles.
Yeah, it takes me, twice as long as it should, because I'll, pause to see what people are saying, and then go back.
Because we talked about Funkos, I have to ask, totally tangent at the end here. Have you seen the Funkos, the exclusives they're doing for Comic-Con, Andrew?
Yes, I have, and... I don't know how I'm going to get all these Batman Funko Pops.
I have never actually tried to get it. Have you ever, been by the Funko booth when it's crazy? I looked today and I saw the Harry Potter ones and I was like, I want a little flying Harry on his broom. He's the little Quidditch Harry. I was like, shit, there's no way I'm going to get that. I'm not camping out for that crap.
I don't want one for myself. But my friend wants me to get
Last year I had the, GameStop was selling a lot of the Comic-Con exclusive Funko Pops at GameStop.
Yeah.
So I tried doing that. I'm going to try and do that again this year.
Yeah. They do release a bunch of them, although a few years ago they did, the Indiana Jones one, and they didn't, the one with the little idol, and I really wanted that, and they did not release that anywhere else.
I heard that most of these are going to get released.
Okay.
So, hopefully that's the case.
They still can be really hard to find, but it's not as bad. And to be honest, I'm a terrible collector, but for the Funkos, I can't keep all those boxes. I throw them away. So,
okay. I do the same thing.
So, it doesn't matter if it has the little sticker that says San Diego Comic-Con exclusive to me, or if it says Hot Topic Con exclusive, or whatever it says. I'm like, I don't care. I just want the figure.
I'm horrified.
I know. Matt would be horrified.
I don't plan on reselling it. So.
Yeah. Matt is the collector, the real collector, and he, oh my god, we have so many boxes. Oh my god. He still has his Star Wars toys from when he was a kid, which he played with, and I swear to god, I should share it sometime. There's a picture of him posed, and it looks like a professional photo. They just put a sheet on the wall at his home, but it looks like one of those professional stage photos that you could take as a kid, and it's him with the Star Wars toys.
Aww.
And he did take them out and play with them, but he played with them so nicely, and he has all the packages and the boxes. He could sell them and make a fortune. He keeps all of that stuff. It's crazy to me. I'm just like, I don't care. I'm to rip it out of the package, put it on my shelf. It's going to get dirty because it's on my shelf and everything gets dirty in my room. But
anyway. At least they were loved.
At least, I do. I love them. I love all million of them that I have because we have way too many toys. We got another hot toy the other day. We got Iron Man from Civil War, so now I get to do my thing. Like, we haven't figured out how to pose them yet, but we're going to do Iron Man, you know, down, like, as with Winter Soldier and Captain America, mm-hmm. and it's the fight. Mm-hmm. So and Bucky's going to have the shield about to throw back to Cap, and then we're going to have Black Widow standing off to the side face palming.
Aww. You should make, like, little, you know, animated films of them, right? Like, take, like, all a bunch of different pictures of them in motion.
The hardest part is going to, like, Natasha's hand doesn't want to get close enough to her face, so I'm going to have to, like, do something to, like, actually face palm it just for a picture. Just get it close enough for that. Anyway, I think that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us, guys.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Let us know if there's anything that you're watching that we should check out.
Because we are always looking for recommendations, even though I have little time. But I want more recommendations because I'm obsessive about TV and film. So, it's fun. All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right, thanks. All
right.
Good talking to you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us for this week's Pop a la Carte. As always, you can join us on withanaccent.com for news, reviews, interviews, and more, and follow us at withanaccent on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram. And you can follow the podcast at Pop a la Carte Pod on Twitter and Facebook. We'll be back with another podcast next week.